Hello, this is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for Neurolinguistic Programming. And we're still here in London at the Master Practitioner Seminar with Dr. Richard Bandler and John Lavelle. And I have another special guest for you today, Mr. Paul Wright. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's not such a sunny day in London.
Well, it's maybe rainy outside, but it's fun inside here.
Exactly. It's still fun.
Doesn't matter what's happening on the outside, it's what you do on the inside that counts.
Absolutely. So tell me, Paul, how did you first hear about NLP?
I first heard about it, it was probably about 12 or 14 years ago. I'd heard about it in some books and started looking into it, but didn't really do much, and I thought, it's going to be hard and stuff, and then got some stuff through and went to a seminar and realized, hang on, I've been doing some of this stuff already. I did my first prac about 10 years ago now. And when I was in the gym, I used to be on the run. I kind of imagine all sorts of things inside my head to make it easier to stay on the run. I'd be on the runner for 90 minutes, not flat out, but a nice gentle pace. And I'd be running my favorite ski run, my favorite tunes. Because at that point, I used to work in the music industry a lot. That was my original background. And so I came on the course because actually my osteopath, I came back from a skiing holiday, free from injury, went into a local shop, held the door open for someone and tweaked my knee, holding the door open. So I went to see the osteopath, he sorted out and he did something. And I'd read some books and I said, was that NLP? Because he said, don't think of this. And as I thought of the other thing, he went, and my knee popped back in. I went, have you been learning NLP or something? He was going, this is a great course, you've got to do it, the practitioner course. So he sold me on the idea. I signed up for it that day. The course was starting the week later, so I was there at the course a week later. And I was in on the course, having a great time. I was thinking, hang on, I do some of this stuff already. And then they taught me some more stuff, because it was the prac back then, it was Paul McKenna and Richard and stuff. And they taught me this stuff. I'm like, this is great, I do this. And they taught me other stuff. And I went, oh, God, that's so obvious. I should have realized that. And it just was such a brilliant, fun course. I loved it straight off. It just made such sense, and it was so easy.
And you didn't stop there, did you?
No, on that week, I loved it so much. I signed up for the master prac, which was 2 weeks later. And I went straight from the prac into the master prac. And in that first year, the first thing I did after the course was rang my bank manager, used the new skills I'd learned, and borrowed £6,500 from the bank to pay for all the courses I did in the first year. I did Mythogenic Self with Joseph Riggio. I did Personal Enhancement with Richard. I did DHE, and I went off and did a load of other things as well. So the first year, I really dived into it big time. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely loved it. When I started learning originally, it was just because it was such fun and it was to make my own life better. Like a load of people, I had a few problems. Things weren't going quite the way I wanted to generally and stuff. And it seemed like a great way to sort things out, and it made such sense. It was so simple. And the courses were such good fun. I came off the courses on such a high. It was great. It just grew from that. People started saying, you should come back and assist. So I did a few more courses, and 2 years after I started doing courses as a delegate, I started assisting. And I've been assisting for 8 years now. So
That's right. And that's why you're here now. You're assisting.
I am indeed, yep.
On this course here. And what do assistants do in these seminars?
Whatever's needed. It's having flexibility. And mm-hmm. It's continual professional development for myself. And right. The great thing about Richard and yourself and John is that, you're always updating your skills and doing new stuff. And if I wasn't coming back and doing this, it would be tempting just to kind of keep cruising along at, the same pace, whereas this always gets me to up my game.
Right.
I love being put on the spot to do things and stuff, because it means you got to think. That's what you have to do if there's a client in front of you and things suddenly change from what you were expecting. I've had clients say, I want to work on this, and they turn up and they say, actually, I want to do this. You go, you've asked me to do this, but hey, we can do that. Certainly in the business world, if you turn up to do some coaching and they say, by the way, the CEO's here as well, you can't go, I can't do it. You have to be able to react instantly. You have to manage your state and to be able to do whatever's needed. You got to turn on a pinhead.
Yeah, and that's the sign of a really good institute like the Paul McKenna training here and NLP Life Training that will be coming up in its place and our trainings. Mm. If you have a good staff of assistants, then you have so much more help for the students if they have questions or they want a little personal attention or in doing some skill drills with the group. And it really enhances their experience in the seminar, especially when we have a crackerjack team like the one we have here. It certainly adds to the experience. So you've obviously read a lot of the books that have been written about NLP.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite one?
My favorite is probably still Using Your Brain for a Change, because I should be on commission. The number of my clients I tell to buy this book, I think I'm one of the reasons why it's so hard to buy sometimes, but there's still copies around. They're still finding them on Amazon and stuff. It's so easy to read, and it's got so many great things in there.
Yeah.
You know, I recommend it to loads of people. I remember reading it myself. And yes, the other books have great stuff in, but I just found it was just a delight to read. It was just like fun time reading it.
It is a fun book to read. And there are still copies available on NLPstore.com.
Well, there you go. There's another one. I shall point them towards that direction, because I do recommend it several times a month.
Yeah, it's a fabulous book. And it's an easy book for people that are new to NLP, want to know what it is all about.
Very easy to pick up, because it was one of the books before I'd actually been on the courses I'd actually been able to read and understand easily.
Mm.
When I go back and read things like Structure and Magic now, I read it with Richard's voice in my head. So it's like being at the seminar, listening to him again, and that makes it much easier to read those as well. But Using Your Brain for a Change is just such an awesome book.
Now, you also did a trainer's training as well. You were a trainer of
NLP. I am, yep.
And you have some businesses with NLP now that you're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I started in the music business originally, and it's kind of morphed from that naturally. Originally, I wasn't planning to change into NLP as a career, but there's been so much demand for what I do. It's been a natural transition. I still work with people in the music industry, but I spend either a Harley Street clinic 2 days a week.
Harley Street?
Harley Street in central London.
Ah.
One of the renowned areas for doctors and stuff. And I see a lot of people there for personal change work through my website, phobiagone.com. I also spend a couple of days a week coaching in business, coaching executives from senior management level all the way through to CEO level. Sometimes it's personal stuff, and this is where it's useful to be able to do all the phobia stuff, because it's amazing the number of high-powered executives that have fear of flying or anxiety over public speaking. So if I'm doing a business coaching thing with them, if there's another problem, it just gets taken care of as well at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And you've done some work in the sports field as well?
I have coached a couple of sports people on performance stuff.
Mm. What type of sports?
There's been a golfer that I've coached and some runners and swimmers as well.
How does that apply, NLP, in those areas?
NLP applies to so many areas, because anything that involves any mental preparation or anything that's competitive, where there's any mental strength required, like a lot of sports like rowing, you may not be able to see the other crew if they're just a hair ahead of you. But the thing is, the race isn't over till the race is over, so you have to keep going till the end. And they may have a technical problem, like one of the oars may fail, or they may catch something in the water. And in something like rowing, although I haven't coached any rowers yet, but I've been approached recently to coach someone who's coming up to national level, if the other crew makes one small mistake, that can give them a setback, which if the other crew is still pushing through, they can then have the advantage. It's like a business deal. The deal's not done till it's done. And if you kind of put your feet up thinking, we got it covered, you can lose it at the last minute, so you have to keep going to the very, very end.
Hmm.
And in a lot of sports, sometimes it's the mental strength to not only have the physical reserves, but the mental reserves. And this is very true of a lot of sports like golf and tennis as well.
So you help them also to identify sort of what their in the groove state is, or things
certainly,
like that?
Certainly, yeah. So the preparation before. So rather, if they've spent all this time physically training their body, top sports people know that they don't hope to be in the right frame of mind on the day. They learn, as well as warming up their muscles and stretching, the people that are clued into this will actually put themselves in the right mental state to be able to perform. And I think it's something that in the past a lot of sports people go, well, we don't need any of that kind of therapy stuff. They've realized it isn't therapy, it's just really, really powerful and a common sense thing to do, because they've spent months, if not years, physically training for something. Anything that gives you the edge, you have to take advantage of.
Well put.
And it's the same in business, sales, and you know, and all these things.
Oh, it's fabulous that you've really kind of crossed all the different fields in taking one thing, NLP, and you're applying it in all these different areas and having success with it. It's remarkable.
Well, it's something that just, you know, applies to behaviors generally. I was talking to a company the other day about some coaching, and the guy, I was talking to the director of the department, he said, well, you know, I know of all the other business coaching models, but why NLP rather than one of those? And I said, well, actually, it's all about the people in the department. I don't deal with the computer problems, that's IT and stuff. Soft systems, which is human behavior. And so many companies have problems with communication skills, interpersonal skills, all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And these all come down to basic human behavior at the end of the day.
Right.
And if you can get the people in the company working better, and ideally get the change going at the top level, so it's actually, because I know a lot about change management and stuff in companies and quality and processes. If you can get it going in at the top, so it filters down. It's a bit like making a change in an NLP strategy. If you can get it early enough on, it'll affect everything else. So it's really getting the key people in the company to buy into it and drive it. And rather than them doing do as I say, it's got to be do as I do. And so they set the example, so they lead. A bit like NLP, you go there first with your own state.
Right.
So it fits perfectly into that.
So if people want to find out about your services, if they're interested in personal change, for example, then they would go to what website?
Phobiagone.com.
So that's www.phobiagone.com.
And if you're using the spelling strategy, each letter will be a different color.
And if they want to know about maybe the
business
performance
side,
or the business coaching,
all comes under higherperformancecoaching.com.
Higher performance.
H-I-G-H-E-R performancecoaching.com, all one word.
All one word.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can Google my name as well. That usually brings me up. I've got that much web presence now. If you
That's
Google
right.
Paul Wright and NLP.
And Wright is spelled with a W.
W-R-I-G-H-T, the right way.
The right way. Well, I absolutely enjoyed our interview.
Thank you. And I always enjoy coming back and being part of the team and assisting. It's a great way to, you know, refine skills, because, you know, the new stuff that you, John, and Richard teach us really help keep us at the top of our game as well. So thank you, Kathleen.
You're very welcome. And now we have to get back to work.
Yes, back to Richard.
Well, this is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for Neurolinguistic Programming, signing off for now. But stay tuned, there's always more.